It's Luke 24, verse 36. While they were still talking about this, Jesus himself stood among them and said to them, "Peace be with you." They were startled and frightened, thinking they saw a ghost. He said to them, "Why are you troubled, and why do doubts rise in your minds? Look at my hands and feet. It is I myself. Touch me and see. A ghost does not have flesh and bones, as you see I have." When he had said this, he showed them his hands and feet. And while they still did not believe it because of joy and amazement, he asked them, "Do you have anything here to eat?" They gave him a piece of broiled fish. He took it and ate it in their presence. He said to them, "This is what I told you while I was still with you. Everything must be fulfilled that is written about me in the law of Moses, the prophets, and the Psalms." Then he opened their minds so they could understand the scriptures. He told them, "This is what is written. The Christ will suffer and rise from the dead on the third day, and repentance and forgiveness of sins will be preached in his name to all nations, beginning at Jerusalem. You are witnesses of these things. I am going to send you what my Father has promised, but stay in the city until you have been clothed with power from on high." When he had led them out to the vicinity of Bethany, he lifted up his hands and blessed them. While he was blessing them, he left them and was taken up into heaven. Then they worshipped him and returned to Jerusalem with great joy. And they stayed continually at the temple, praising God.
Thank you. In this Luke account of Jesus' ascension, we read of the last earthly meeting with his disciples. We know, of course, that Jesus' mission on earth was finished. He had preached and healed and taught. He had suffered and died on the cross and rose again. Jesus had successfully accomplished all that God had sent him to do. And it was time for him to return to his Father. We sing the hymn, "From heaven you came, helpless babe." For that is indeed where Jesus came from. He came from heaven and he was returning there. An interesting aside in this chapter here is the disciples' response. You may have already thought about it. Their response to Jesus leaving them. We know that when Jesus first told his disciples that he was going, they did not understand. And in fact, they probably didn't comprehend it. They didn't want to comprehend it, because the thought about Jesus leaving them was not something that they wanted to even think about. But here, when Jesus does leave them, they worship him, tells us that. And it says, in verse 52 of that chapter, it says, they worshipped him and returned to Jerusalem with great joy. And you think to yourself, they haven't received the Holy Spirit yet. But two things the passage tells us here that Jesus did. First of all, they had a Bible study. Doesn't it? It tells us that in verse 45. It says, verse 45, "Then Jesus opened their minds so they could understand the scriptures. He told them, 'This is what is written, the Christ will suffer and rise from the dead on the third day, and repentance and forgiveness of sins will be preached in his name to all nations, beginning at Jerusalem.'" So was it the Bible study that changed them, or was it the blessing which Jesus gave them in verse 51? It says, when they went out to Bethany, he lifted up his hands and blessed them. When he was blessing them, he left them and was taken up into heaven. So, was it the Bible study, or was it the blessing, or was it, I think, a combination of both? You can imagine, though, I'm sure it was one of those Bible studies, and after Jesus gone, they were thinking to themselves, you know, I would never have thought that. And Jesus said this, and also he said that, and he said the other, and he said about things in the future. It just blown my mind. It would have been tremendous for them, a real lifting up for them. And it's good to see the disciples, isn't it? After Jesus has left them, it's good to see that they go away joyful and also positive as well. To be a joyful Christian and a positive Christian is a good thing, isn't it? And that's what God calls us to be. I'm sure that you're positive all the time. We're not always joyful, though, are we? But it's good to see that the disciples were joyful and positive. Not only was it time for Jesus to return to heaven, but it was important for the good of the disciples and also for us as well. And I hope that the scriptures will demonstrate that to you as we look at them. So it was important for the disciples and important for us. In John chapter 16, verse 7, Jesus said to his disciples, "It is for your good I am going away. Unless I go away, the Counselor will not come to you, but if I go, I will send him to you." Jesus needed to go back to his Father so that the Holy Spirit could be sent to the disciples. And Jesus tells his disciples in Acts chapter 1, verse 4, which we read before, "Do not leave Jerusalem, but wait for the gift my Father promised. For John baptized with water, but in a few days you will be baptized with the Holy Spirit." That's another thought about the disciples as well. Were they talking between themselves and saying, "Jesus said that we are going to be baptized with the Holy Spirit, and he talked about receiving this power. What is this power going to be like? Are we going to look different? Are we going to walk 10 foot tall?" They did walk 10 foot tall and more, didn't they, after they received the Spirit. Maybe they couldn't sleep at night because they were excited about it. Maybe they thought, "Well, I can't wait now for the couple of days for the Holy Spirit to come upon us." I'm sure that they had much discussion about it. And when they were on their own, they thought, "What does this really mean to us?" Another reason Jesus had to return to heaven was to prepare a place for his people. That includes you, and it includes me, and it includes all of those who belong to Jesus. In John chapter 14, we read this in verse 2, and this is such a well-known piece of scripture. Jesus said, "In my Father's house are many rooms. If it were not so, I would have told you. And if I go and prepare a place for you, I will come back and take you to be with me, that you also may be where I am." What a promise. In two of our hymns tonight, we have sung about Jesus as our prophet, priest, and king. Another reason why Jesus needed to return to heaven was to exercise his high priestly ministry on our behalf. Our high priestly ministry. As Baptists, we don't think too much about priests, but the Bible makes it clear that Jesus is our great high priest. You know that in the Old Testament, the priests offered sacrifices and they interceded on behalf of the people before God. They had a very important role. They also taught the people and helped the people to understand the things of God. And we have some important things in Hebrews, what it says about Jesus' priesthood. So I'm going to invite you to turn to those, please. And it's Hebrews chapter 5, and it's page 1204. Hebrews chapter 5, verses 8 to 10. And here it says, referring to Jesus, although he was a son, he learned obedience from what he suffered. And once made perfect, he became the source of eternal salvation for all who obey him, and was designated by God to be high priest in the order of Melchizedek. So it was God who ordained Jesus to be our great high priest. It says it there. Also, on the same page, in Hebrews chapter 7, verses 24 to 27, it says this. Says this about Jesus. Let's have a look at 23 first. No, we'll go to 24. I'll stick with my notes and it makes sense. But because Jesus lives forever, he has a permanent priesthood. Therefore, he is able to save completely those who come to God through him, because he always lives to intercede for them. Such a high priest meets our needs, and who is holy, blameless, pure, set apart from sinners, exalted above the heavens. And like the other priests, he does not need to offer sacrifices day after day, first for his own sins and then for the sins of the people. He sacrificed for their sins once for all, once when he offered himself. What great scriptures they are. What a great high priest we have in Jesus, our Saviour and our friend. When Jesus died on the cross, it was a sacrifice for all of mankind. He died for the sin of all mankind. No other sacrifice is needed, the Bible tells us. Jesus died once for all for the sins of the world. But when you think about it, that here, Jesus, in this chapter 7 here, it tells us that he meets our needs. One who is holy, blameless, pure, set apart from sinners, exalted above the heavens. Christians, be encouraged, because Jesus intercedes for us. He sits on the right hand of God, and yet he intercedes for us. He works on our behalf. He meets our needs, as Hebrews reminds us. And finally, Jesus had to go back to heaven to be exalted and to be given the highest honor. In Ephesians chapter 1, we read these verses. Ephesians chapter 1, which is page 1173, if you want to turn to it. Ephesians chapter 1, verses 20 to 22. And Paul here is talking about God's great power, which raised Jesus from the dead. And we picked that up in verse 20. So God, he talks about, he exerted in Christ when he raised him from the dead and seated him at his right hand in the heavenly realms, far above all rule and authority, power and dominion, and every title that can be given, not only in the present age, but also in the one to come. And God placed all things under his feet and appointed him to be head over everything for the church. And Jesus and Peter writes in 1 Peter, and he says, Jesus Christ, who has gone into heaven and is at God's right hand, with angels, authorities, and powers in submission to him. These are amazing verses talking about Jesus, our Saviour and friend, that God has put all things under his feet. He is indeed exalted to the highest place. And he is far above all rule and authority, power and dominion, and every title that can be given. How the scripture helps us to understand that when we put our trust in Jesus for salvation, it was much more than just saying yes to God. We become children of God, belonging to God's kingdom. And we are part of this greatness which God has bestowed upon us in Jesus. We have been given the Holy Spirit, and we have a Saviour who is exalted to the highest position, and God has put all things under his feet. Jesus indeed is exalted to the highest place. So, why did Jesus have to go back to heaven? So that the Holy Spirit could be sent. Why did Jesus have to go back to heaven? To prepare a place for us. Why did Jesus have to go back to heaven? To be our great high priest. And why did Jesus have to go back to heaven? To be exalted, to be lifted up, and to be praised. For he had carried out God's mission, and he successfully brought God's rescue plan to the world of mankind.